Today is the Feast of the Ascension of our Lord. The epistle for this Mass is taken from the Acts of the Apostles. In the former book, O Theophilus, I spoke of all that Jesus did and taught from the beginning until the day on which he was taken up, after he had given commandments through the Holy Spirit to be to the apostles whom he had chosen. To them also he showed himself alive after his passion by many proofs, during 40 days appearing to them and speaking of the kingdom of God. And while eating with them, he charged them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, of which you have heard, said he, by my mouth, for John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days hence. They therefore, who had come together, began to ask him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? But he said to them, It is not for you to know the times or dates which the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be witnesses for me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and even to the very ends of the earth. And when he had said this, he was lifted up before their eyes, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing up to heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white garments, and said to them, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up to heaven? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, shall come in the same way as you have seen him going up to heaven. Please stand for the gospel. The Holy Gospel for this Mass is taken from the account according to St. Mark, chapter 16, verses 14 to 20. At that time, Jesus appeared to the 11 disciples as they were at table, and he upbraided them for their lack of faith and hardness of heart, in that they had not believed those who had seen him after he had risen. And he said to them, Go into the whole world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he who does not believe shall be condemned. And these signs shall attend those who believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak in new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands upon the sick, and they shall get well. So then the Lord Jesus, after he had spoken to them, was taken up to heaven, and sits at the right hand of God. But they went forth and preached everywhere, while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the preaching by the signs that followed. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. So this is made a holy day of obligation by Holy Mother, the Church, because of its supreme importance to all of us. Because this is the day that our Lord completed his redemptive act. He, as we have relived in the liturgy, the ceremonies, the masses, from the beginning of Lent until today, he suffered and died. And that day was reenacted and commemorated on Good Friday. The very death of Jesus on the cross is what wins our salvation. And then 3 days later, he rose from the dead on Easter Sunday and conquered death, conquered sin, conquered the devil by rising at midnight, the first moment of that Sunday. But instead of rising from the dead and going up to heaven immediately, which he could have done, he decided to encourage the apostles, to encourage and help the true believers, the Catholics. For the last 2,000 years, he chose to help us by staying with us an extra 40 days after he rose from the dead. So he, as we know from the accounts of the Acts of the Apostles and also the Gospels, he visited the apostles and spoke to them and other disciples, to St. Mary Magdalene, many people, but only his friends. Do you know that he appeared to none of his enemies? You would think that our Lord would appear to them to tell them, see, you were wrong. I rose from the dead. No. He only gives the grace of his bodily presence to those who are his friends, who are sincere and contrite of heart. That's why he only gives the Blessed Sacrament, the Holy Eucharist, to his friends. It's denied to those who refuse him and refuse the body of Christ, who deny, those people who deny that he even exists or that he was a son of God. They're not worthy. So this day is the day that gives us great hope, because he fulfilled his promise of not only conquering death, but going back to his Father in heaven. But now it's different, because God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost have existed for all eternity. There was never a beginning with the Holy Trinity. But when our Lord returned to heaven, he was different because he had a human body, human soul. But now it's glorified. But as you know, you've heard before, he chose to enter heaven with a glorious body, conquering death, but he kept the wounds in his hands and in his side and in his feet. He kept those wounds. They are there today in heaven, and they will be there for all eternity as marks, as signs of what he did for us, conquering sin and the devil and giving us a path to heaven. So now we look. The Paschal candle is extinguished. It's been a sign, as we've and the other priests have mentioned, of our Lord's presence. The primary reason it symbolizes our Lord's presence, bodily presence, among the apostles and disciples, and then secondarily us. But now it's extinguished. And there's sort of a feeling of melancholy or sadness that we share with the apostles, because they couldn't see him anymore. They'd known him for 3 years, and all the beautiful sermons and witnessing of the miracles, all the adventures, all the mistakes and the sins that they committed, all the rebukes and severe rebukes from our Lord to them. He even, as it says, upbraided them. He rebuked them moments before he ascended into heaven because of their lack of faith and because they didn't believe the disciples and the holy women, especially St. Mary Magdalene, after he rose from the dead. Because, see, with God, we really don't get away with anything. We have to be corrected. And he wanted to correct them, make sure they know what they had done wrong before ascending into heaven. And notice what he says. And this is from the account of St. Luke in the Acts of the Apostles. He said, charge them, do not depart from Jerusalem. You stay put, you stay in Jerusalem, and wait for the promise of the Father. Because in a few days, you'll be baptized by the Holy Spirit, with the Holy Spirit. He's just said this to them, and you know what? They therefore, who had come together, began to ask him, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? They still, at those last moments, were thinking he's going to start, conquer the Roman authorities and set up the earthly kingdom for the Hebrew people. Because everybody, it's part of fallen human nature. We like to feel important. And they knew that our Lord would be king, but they would be part of his court. So they think at this last moment they still are hoping for earthly power, riches to share with our Lord. And he tells them, it is not for you to know the times or dates which the Father has fixed by his own authority. But you shall receive the power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. So as they waited from this day to Pentecost Sunday, they didn't know how long it was going to be, but he just said, wait. That is what we do. Because tomorrow we start our novena to the Holy Ghost. We chant the Veni Creator to help us to prepare for the coming of the Holy Spirit liturgically and in a real way on Pentecost Sunday. Because the way our Lord prepared the apostles, so can we be prepared. So this is the time to look over what we've been doing since Easter Sunday. What kind of progress have we made in our spiritual life? Are we holier after going through the penances and sufferings of Lent? Or are we still dragged down by our predominant vice, by our sins, by our faults? Because we have to make an account of what we've been doing better now than at the end of our lives. So this feast of the Ascension completes the Paschal mystery. It is so important, the Feast of the Ascension, that it is mentioned by name in every Mass that is offered. So, right after the offertory, there's this prayer to the Holy Trinity, which I will read. It's in your missals. We presume you all have your missals today. Receive, O Holy Trinity, this oblation offered up by us to thee in memory of the passion, resurrection, and ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ, and in honor of the Blessed Mary, ever Virgin, of Blessed John the Baptist, of the Holy Apostles Peter and Paul, of these and of all the saints that it may be available to their honor and to our salvation. And may they whose memory we celebrate on earth vouchsafe to intercede for us in heaven through the same Christ our Lord. So the Ascension is recalled at every Mass. And then, after the consecration, there's this prayer. Wherefore, O Lord, we thy servants, as also thy holy people, calling to mind the blessed passion of the same Christ, thy Son, our Lord, his resurrection from the grave, and his glorious ascension into heaven, offer up to thy most excellent majesty of thine own gifts bestowed upon us a victim which is pure, a victim which is holy, a victim which is stainless, the holy bread of life everlasting, and the chalice of eternal salvation. We remind you about these points, these doctrines about the Ascension, how important it is, because our Lord's passion and death, his dying on the cross, is the central image, doctrine of our Catholic faith. And then, of course, Easter is the greatest feast of the year because our Lord rose from the dead. But the Feast of the Ascension is equally as important. They're all connected. And here we honor our Lord because this is the day we have great joy, like the souls who are in limbo. Countless, maybe millions of souls in limbo, which does exist, still exists. And that was the place that all the holy people, like Adam and Eve, and Abraham and Moses, they had to wait. They had to wait for a long time, centuries. But then, as it says in our Apostles' Creed, it says he descended into hell, meaning the lower regions, meaning limbo, to visit the souls in captivity. And then on this day, they all went to heaven, all these souls, to be with our Lord. But they're still waiting because they don't have their bodies. Possibly Saint Joseph has his body. Some believe that. And of course, the Blessed Virgin Mary does. But all these souls are waiting for the last day when there'll be the final judgment. And that is the day we all look forward to. We were remarking the other day to our Father Superior how quickly every day passes here at this community. How short every day is. How the days, weeks, months, and years pass through our lives like grains of sand just going through our fingers. And we have to face our Lord. And we pray and hope for a favorable judgment so that we can also ascend to heaven with our souls. That if we have to go to purgatory, it'll be a very brief time there. And finally, we want to just comment a little bit about this gospel, which was unusual. This is probably the only Mass of the year that the epistle and gospel explain the very same event. But he tells the apostles to go forth. They're on the march. Because now, after Pentecost Sunday, when they received the Holy Spirit, they were changed men. The Blessed Virgin Mary was there too. She was a changed woman. She had a greater amount of grace and presence of the Holy Ghost after the Holy Spirit descended into her on Pentecost Sunday. But these days were the preparation. That's why our Lord told them to wait and to pray. We cannot emphasize enough. We say it almost every sermon, how important it is to pray. When we don't pray, we get into trouble. It's like opening the door a little bit to let the devil into our lives when we don't pray. But he tells them to go into the whole world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved, and he who does not believe shall be condemned. They'll be condemned. That means they'll go to hell. Because you never hear in churches, rarely, we say, and in the media, the words hell or sin. You don't hear it. Because everybody, no matter who they are, they go to heaven. Well, that, as you know, is a lie. And where do those lies come from? They come from the father of lies, the devil. He doesn't want people to know about heaven or hell. He doesn't want them to be afraid of hell or of sin. They don't even want to talk about hell. That's by deliberate act. Because then it makes people think, I better change my lives. I better be good. I better follow the truth. And he tells the apostles, as we just read earlier, to confirm what you're going to say, you will have great powers. And in fact, when our Lord was speaking to them, he said they will be able to perform greater works than even he performed. I always found that remarkable to hear that. They will, apostles and saints in the future, will actually do greater, more stupendous miracles than our Lord did. And we see that with them not only raising people from the dead, but moving mountains and doing unbelievable works. Not to get attention or to make themselves look important or like superheroes. No, to confirm their words. So that the people would say and think, what this man is saying must be true because he has just performed this great work and saved these poor people from their illnesses or from death or other maladies. And so after he ascended into heaven, it says they went forth and preached everywhere, while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the preaching by the signs that followed. Now, in early church, there were many miracles, many gifts given to the apostles, disciples, the clergy, because there were a lot of enemies. The devil was just starting to realize that he had been totally sideswiped. He didn't even know when our Lord was on earth that he was the Son of God. He thought he might be, but God concealed it from him because he's so proud and arrogant and so evil. Do you ever think why this chapel is not attacked because it has our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament? You think they would do that? And sometimes they do, like in countries today, especially in France and in the Middle East. They blow up, kill, murder Christians. But here, for the time being, we pose no threat because they don't believe in the Holy Eucharist. And we're small and out of the way. But what happens here is of the utmost importance for the salvation of our souls, for the salvation of the people in this city, and really for the whole world. Because every Mass, especially like today's Mass, sanctifies all the world. The grace goes forth from the altar to sanctify those in need. But unfortunately, many have hard hearts and it falls on rocky ground. And so it's given to others who are open to it. Here is the collect of today's Mass. Grant, we beseech thee, Almighty God, that we who believe thy only begotten Son, our Redeemer, to have this day ascended into heaven, may ourselves also in mind dwell amid heavenly things. That means in our minds and our hearts, it should have heavenly thoughts. Not the distractions of the world, which are so present to all of us. Though the internet has helped us a great deal in terms of propagating the faith and is a very great thing, it also has the bad side by those who use it for evil, because it is a conduit of intense evil to every soul on the planet, if that person allows it to happen. So that's why we have to be on guard, to not be slaves of devices. Because there's nothing new. Books, photographs, movies, television, images, going back centuries, all can be used for good and for evil. So we must wean ourselves off anything that enslaves us and keeps us from being united to our Lord, especially on a day like this. And the final remark we'll tell you is this. To remind you why this day even exists. It all comes down to our Lord's intense love for each one of us. To make us a promise. He promised the apostles and the disciples they would go to heaven. And he makes the same promise to all of us. But we, of course, have to be worthy of that. But he gives us the Holy Spirit, which will be, of course, explained more on Pentecost Sunday. But the Holy Spirit gives us the ability to wait like the apostles, because he has already come. He came on Pentecost Sunday, as we said, but now we have to beg him for graces every day that we have a heart like our Lord has, a heart of love, a heart filled with virtue, one of happiness and not gloom and depression and being one of self-centeredness. And you know what? When we transform our hearts, when we open them up to God's grace, by just simply saying, for example, the Come Holy Ghost, or our acts of faith, hope, and charity, the Holy Spirit will help us, just like He did the apostles. He will reward those virtues that we've practiced with an eternal reward. And that's what we look forward to on this beautiful feast of the Ascension of our Lord. May God bless you.